This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! This is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon.
And this is the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
We are back.
Like yesterday.
Yeah, back. Now the Wednesday with that crack. Shit.
What was that, the crack shuffle?
That was a little bit of, that was a little bit of Barbizon.
What?
A little Barbizon for y'all, you
Damian,
know what
he
I mean?
Did a little shuffle in the chair
you
for y'all.
Know, back that's, like the crack.
That you couldn't see.
On the Wednesday, the hump day. Oh, get the hump out your back.
Oh, gator.
Hey. All right. Shit, it's good to be here. You know, as always, thanks for listening if you're listening. That's always
you
good.
You know they're listening.
Good to see you, brother.
No doubt. Good to see you as well.
Good to see young Matthew over here. Pay close attention. What's up, man? What's going on? How you doing?
What's this new attitude you got?
Is it a new attitude?
You got a new routine.
I'm in here,
you,
man.
You're a man of routine. You came in with a different swag today.
Oh, shit. Well,
what's going on with you, man?
I'm just living life, man. I'm just trying to enjoy this shit.
No doubt.
You know, like, I don't know what the routine is. I'm just trying to be in the conversation.
No doubt. Be in the moment. Be present, you know.
Be present. You know, not really tripping. We just having a good time. We going to talk about this or that and a little bit of that and this.
Hey.
You know what I mean? And that's it. What's up with you? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling real, these one of them times where, you know, all of the social activity and the news is working on your blackness, you know. Grating on you.
What
you know
mean?
What I'm saying? You know, you're watching the TVs and, you know, you're listening to the 45, the Orange Man.
Oh, yeah.
The Orange Man speak of crazy talk, you know. So, you know, it makes you step in the world a little differently sometimes if you let it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, you got, you know, the NFL cats, you know, they trying to pull it together and trying to make a movement out of it, but it's kind of like, you know, are they doing it because of the movement or are they doing it because of the Orange Man?
You saying the owners?
Nah, just in general, you know how it went from one or two cats here and there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To now everybody feel like they got to do something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is good.
Right.
On one hand. And anything that gets you in the conversation is a win.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, are we just pacifying the case? Are we, you know what I'm saying, salvaging the audience? What are we doing here?
I don't know. I noticed that it seems like the conversation is getting a little distorted, though. Right?
Of course.
So now, you know, the conversation is starting to turn into, you know what? You players have the right to kneel, to have your peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right to do that. Go kneel peacefully. We all about that here at the NFL. We support that. Go kneel. But we're not going to get into what you're kneeling for. You know what I mean? Because we just, you know what I mean? We just want to protect your right to be able to be symbolic and, you know, because we don't want Trump telling us how to run our plantation. You know what I'm saying? So we going to say, listen, that ain't your master. I mean, he might be big man, but he ain't the master over here. So if y'all want to go ahead and do that shit, don't worry. I'll speak to him. Y'all go ahead and kneel and shit.
Have your little black
protest. Get your kneel shit together.
Get your black moment on together, little thing that you're protesting
We still
about.
Ain't hiring that other nigga that started this whole kneel shit.
That old uppity one.
No, we ain't doing that. He's a bit of a troublemaker.
Sadly, that's really how it probably is going down.
That's probably how it's going down.
Well,
go ahead.
Nah, it must be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, football player, you've been doing this all your life.
Yeah.
You've been working hard. You've been, you know what I'm saying, practicing since you was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, if you're from Miami.
Invested your whole life.
This your whole life. You know what I'm saying? You put your whole body on the line. You're probably going to have some type of brain damage and shit.
This what everybody know you for.
Right. This is your whole existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much. Not,
for the most
not
part.
Not your whole.
I mean, because, your mama know your middle name.
Because cats do have other lives outside of the football.
Right.
But as far as professionally, most people working their jobs haven't put in as much time and hours and physical exertion as the guys who are playing in that league for the TV every week, for the fans, for the audience, for the money, you know what I'm saying, for the owners, you know? So, you know what I'm saying, I wonder how it feels to be in this kind of position where, you know, you have to rep yourself as a player, you have to rep the team that you play for, which includes the owner and the fans, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you play somewhere like Boston and Patriots and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You get, you know what I'm saying? Where you fall in line with, okay, your responsibility as a brother and your responsibility as a ball player and all that shit you had to think about as you go out here and you had to go knock somebody's head off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or try not to get your head knocked off.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this shit is, man, this shit is probably heavy on their ass. You know what I'm saying? They earning that money this season.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good thing. It's a lot of it.
Not for all of them.
Not for all of them. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Even if you're not in the NFL, the question just... the expectations for a brother.
Expectations.
You know what I mean? Well, shit. You know. What is the expectations?
For real. Shit. Like, which we talked about this last summer when it was like the summer of revolts.
Right.
It's like, you know, which fights do you fight?
And then if you're not posting a meme or taking a knee and putting it up on your Instagram story, are you not? Yeah.
That's the what we called that shit last year. The what you call them activists, the side chair activists, the armchair activism. Right. That's that shit. The memes and all that shit.
That get a lot of
that do help you. That they do have a they serve a purpose in the total movement because they move the conversation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you have people who are on the ground that do shit. And then you have people like Kaepernick who's going to be the martyr of the situation.
Right.
Where you know his whole career is probably. Has been put on the line for that.
Yeah.
So everybody play their part. Which part you playing?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's basically which part you playing. But even more, the other thing is, I guess, what do people want, right? What do we want? Now, obviously, Kaepernick, initially, he wants to shine light on the motherfucking people, the police out here killing people and brutalizing motherfuckers. Let's take a look at this shit. Let's start arresting some of these crooked ass cops and start putting them in jail. Let's start getting some convictions.
Right.
This shit is ridiculous. Right. That's all he's saying.
Right.
But that shit got clouded.
As they all get clouded.
That got clouded as fuck. And then it became this whole thing of, y'all ain't even hire him. Because then now, because it starts to get distorted now, because y'all ain't even hire him. He's still looking for a job.
Right.
So now people don't even realize what he was kneeling for.
Right. He was kneeling for one thing.
Right.
Now they won't hire him because he kneeled. It don't matter. They don't care what he was kneeling for, but he can't get a job now because he's done brought all this attention to his cause, or not even his cause, to himself and his knee.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
People think he kneeling for a job. He begging for a job. No.
Or he's kneeling against the flag.
Right. Oh, they think that
that's,
too.
That's the whole, the general.
Or against the troops.
Right. You know what I'm saying? He's anti-American. So he's kneeling against the flag and the troops and the people who died. But what they not saying is the people and the troops and the flag and all that shit, they died for people to have the right to protest and to complain if they don't feel like things are right in this country. I thought that's what this whole shit was all about.
Not if you black and we ask you to play football.
But it is about that. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know what I'm saying, the other voices that want to be heard, they feel their way. But you ain't got to pay attention to them.
Ain't got no activism at the combine. We ain't ask you about all of these political stances.
Oh, yes, it is, though. But when it's time to, you know, wear pink for breast cancer awareness, and you know what I'm saying? They have their causes that they represent. It's just, it has to be sanctioned and paid for. Just like even saying the fucking Pledge of Allegiance was paid for by the government.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You saw that? Just
saying, it's like, you know, if it's not paid for, dog, you can't do it.
That's
like,
payola.
It's payola. It's advertising. It's whatever.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to see, really, And it seems like a little bit of it happened. I haven't been watching because I'm trying. That's my bit of a protest.
Haven't been watching what?
Haven't been watching the NFL.
Oh, okay.
I've been watching.
Did you watch last year?
Yeah, I watched a little bit last year. Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched a little bit.
Because, I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched the NFL in a long time. I mean, I would catch in on a game or two, you know what I'm saying?
I get into
it. I went and saw a Falcons game last year, but, you know.
I haven't seen a fucking real pro football game live. I need to do that. I've not done that in my life. I want to do that. I almost did it this weekend, but it didn't work out. But
you almost went against the protest to do it?
I mean, I didn't even think about it.
It didn't work out because of the protest?
Nah, it didn't work out because of some financial shit. I wasn't even thinking about the protest at that point. It would have been a quandary.
Look at D. Living, brother. Brother D. Living.
Exactly. Oh, look at this.
All on the sideline, exactly. Smiling.
Nah,
shit.
With his hand over his heart. Oh, suck. Exactly. You seen they call Ray Lewis an opportunist. Terrible, boy. They go hard on these beats.
Hey, man, but he played himself, man.
He was sloppy.
He played himself, man. Talking all that bullshit. And then gonna get out there on two knees.
Looking crazy, looking like Stevie
Wonder.
Not
one, I'm gonna give you two. I'm gonna just be extra about it.
Yeah, that was craziness.
Man, Ray.
But,
Murder Ray.
What were we saying, though? We were just talking about, so I didn't watch it, right? I didn't watch it, but what my thing was, I just wanted, and I seen the Diddy plea, and I kind of agreed with this. This is my thing. I felt like in arenas with platforms where we have, as a people, have so much power, so much of a large voice, so much influence, sometimes we even have more influence than we think we do, right? Because, okay, you could talk about Colin, you could talk about, you know, the stars, Ray Lewis, you could talk about, you know, Cam, Richard Sherman, you know, people like that. But there's a lot of black people in the NFL. A lot of motherfuckers that you don't know. And the thing is, you know, the thing about it is the NFL, since this is the zenith of these people's career, right? They've been trying for their entire life. Since, like you said, like three years old, if they're in Miami or whatever. They've been trying their entire life, risking CTE, all types of shit, fucking around, finally get to the pros, right? But then there's still this part of it. There's this part of it, if you choose to believe it, there's this part of it that they'll still make you feel like you disposable. Like, if you get out of line, we can get another motherfucker.
And they exercise that, you know what I'm saying?
They exercise it, but
that's why Colin ain't got no damn job.
Right.
He had to show him.
Right, but that's
when... Fuck it, we'll get a lesser motherfucker.
That's when solidarity and unionizing comes together, when motherfuckers say, you know what? We all for one, one for all type shit. Because honestly, real talk, we some big freak-like motherfuckers. It ain't that many people that are just like, might be three or four maybe in the world that could do what I do. Two of them is rusted and dusted because they didn't think it was going to happen. Motherfucking knee might be hurt. So I got a little bit more leverage than I even know myself.
Yeah, but then you had to risk it knowing that your brothers are going to fall in line with you.
That's the ultimate gamble. Because you're like, brother?
See what happened with Colin, his brothers.
Didn't, like, listen, bro.
His brothers didn't fall in line with him.
Cool story, bro. But I sent some money.
And not only didn't they not ride against him on the team or like other players or whatever, you know, it was his own personal mission. He didn't go around and he probably didn't go around and try to unionize everybody. But you know what I'm saying? When he did it, not only do you have that factor of, you know, wondering if your guys are going to have your back, you also have that factor of, the opportunist on TV and the pundits and shit like that that's going to ride against you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And try to just
gotta be strong,
decimate your whole character because it's like, oh, you don't get out of line. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that boy's out of line.
Right.
Oh, Master gonna get him. Master get him. Look at him.
Right.
Look at him. He out of line.
Yeah.
And I'm black and I said he out of line. So you know he out of line.
I don't want to get beat.
You know what I'm saying? You know he out of line. That's that what they call that shit. What was the motherfucker on the plantation? They have a black dude that'll oversee the other dudes.
Uncle Tom.
Not Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom.
But the
not an overseer, but something
assistant,
you know what I'm
overseer,
the babysitter.
Exactly.
And he want to carry the whip and shit for the back. You know what I'm saying? Boy, you better not. Shit.
Yeah,
that dude. Yeah. So you got a bunch of them. It's like the whole thing where, you know, when they test animals and shit, and they try to, you know, train them to a certain behavior. Mm-hmm. And when the behavior is not wanted, you know what I'm saying, you might get a shock or something. Mm-hmm. Then after a while, the other animals will not even let you do it.
It's Pavlov, right?
You know, Pavlov's shit like that. You know what I'm saying? They won't even let you do it because they know you're going to get the shock. And you know what I'm saying? You don't want to get the shock. So they'll beat your ass. They probably might even kill you.
Yeah.
So you won't try to get out of here because you might get the shock.
That's why we always see them killing videos over and over and over again. Like, just to let you... It's almost like a fucking... like a warning, you know what I mean? Stay your ass in line. It's gonna happen.
But at the grand scheme of the shit, just like with the, you know what I'm saying, the people, like, you know, firearm and you know what I'm saying, the supremacists and the Nazis and all that shit, man, they shit only got as much power as, you know what I'm saying, we let it have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you let somebody call you a nigga and make you feel some kind of way, then, you know what I'm saying, they got that power.
Right.
You know?
And you can't, the thing is, you know, I seen a quote that said, anybody that's willing to risk their freedom for safety or to lose their freedom for safety doesn't deserve either. I think the great Killer Mike said that.
Ooh, but you know, Killer Mike, preach.
But you know, that's real shit. There's a lot of people that, you know, that to this point, there's a lot of people that are like, shit, that's the only thing I know how to do, right? I went to college, but I really didn't go to college. I went there to play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I put all my eggs in this one basket, and I'm barely hanging on, and I'm scared.
And I got a lot of motherfucking shit I bought.
I got debt. I bought a lot of fly shit. I like this lifestyle. People respond to me finally.
And bruh.
I mean, you should see my wife. She's expensive. But, you know... Colin, you know, nigga, listen, next, this is a contract negotiation year. It's that scared shit,
right.
You know, and it's fucked up because there's a cost to everything. That's the truth of it all, you know. Colin, you know, shit, he lost, he might never play again.
Right.
But he going to be a hero.
Yeah, he going down in history.
Going to be a hero.
I mean, whatever happens after this, he's the catalyst.
He good in the hood.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he could, you know, take over where old Rev Al Sharpton and them left off.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
maybe
tough.
He'll do a better job, you know?
Ah, man, you got to give Rev.
I'm not saying that the Rev didn't do a good job. I didn't say Judge Jackson. I'm just saying if he's going to be the next generation of it.
The new civil rights leader.
You know what I'm saying? He need to be, you know what I'm saying, better, more efficient, and you know what I'm saying? And do it in a better kind of way.
What do you think does it take to be the best or the new 2017 civil rights leader? What would make better than the predecessor? What do they need?
Man, first of all, we need more. You know what I'm saying? I think they all should have their lanes and zones, just like positions on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't have one dude representing the whole everything. Because
right.
It gets kind of corrupt.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It gets a little shaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Hey, we're going to come boycott on your steps. You know what I'm saying? But you got if you take care of me, you know what I'm saying? I make sure that shit go away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We need more. So, that, you know, it creates more of a balance. And you know what I mean?
Checks.
Checks and balances. We need more than activists. We need people that's in office, in politics, in positions of power.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just being on one side, holding the hand of the, you know, the bag and the people.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't give me the bag, you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna get the people on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that show up just when it's time to show up. You know, show out for the cameras and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you need people that's on the ground doing this shit every day. And everybody, you know, we all have to play our parts. You know what I'm saying? Everybody not going to be in politics and in public policy and shit like that. But, you know what I'm saying? For at least for your tribe, your neighborhood, whatever, your community, your family and shit, you know, you have to be there and be present and be ready to, you know, to do what's right in the right situations. You know, what that means for everybody is different. You know what I'm saying? What that means for me is probably different than what it means for you and for whoever else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we all had to play our parts in that shit.
Yeah.
And we not going to all agree. And everybody ain't going to be in agreement with your shit and your kneeling and all that shit.
Mm.
That's because that's just how it works.
Right.
But the people who are, you got to be all. You had to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it go.
There it go.
Shit. What else? What else is going on? Nah, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. What else is going on, man?
Cardi B winning.
Well, Cardi B out here winning. She all the way in. She's.
I mean.
Well, go ahead. What you about
go ahead.
Now, go ahead. What you got?
No, you go ahead.
Since she out here winning. She all the way. Oh, we sure I was going to go back to the thing?
No, just let's lay it up.
I mean, this is really you bringing this to this. We talk about Cardi B or we talk about some other shit? We were doing the end of round. No,
you was about to set it up as far as, you know what I'm saying? She was number one this week, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I was going.
After spending weeks, you know what I'm saying, climbing the charts, after spending the summer, you know what I'm saying, dominating the airwaves with her song.
Right.
She has finally reached the pinnacle of the, you know, music industry standard,
yeah,
which is the number one single in the country.
Cinderella story.
You know what I'm saying? As she has once said, she went from, you know what I'm saying, being a roach to a butterfly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a memoir.
No doubt. So, you know what I'm saying, to hit that mark, you know what I'm saying, that's a big deal.
I guess so. I mean, it has been 25 years since another woman has had number one single, which is crazy to think about that shit.
And she, you know, represented Dominican. She the first Dominican to hold that spot.
I guess so. Yeah, that's a big deal too.
You know what I'm saying? She holding down a lot of. I mean, I would guess, you know what I'm saying, she's probably high up in the people from the Bronx that hit that spot.
Yeah. She feel good. She got to be feeling good, looking like it's a good look.
Man, what you think about the whole movement, though?
I mean, I think it was dope. I feel like we've talked about it a bunch, but I mean, we watched this shit literally come. You watched her come up on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, if you were tuned in from the Instagram days, there was old school Cardi B. This was the beginner Cardi B, and you seen her ascent in front of you in real time. And I think it was just like, it was almost like against all odds, right? Nobody expected, you know, a stripper from Instagram, you know what I mean? Twisted teeth, you know what I mean? to become the number one, like, no, she wasn't no rapper at the time. All you knew was her videos was funny as shit. And after you watched a few of them, you're like, I got to watch some more of this shit. You knew immediately once you got it, or I felt this way. Once I started fucking watching her shit, it was infectious. I called the fact that she was funny a long time ago. Yo, she's funny as shit. She's honest. It reminded me of like Pryor. You know what I mean? Where it's warts and all. I'm going to take it all. Black and ugly as ever, right? Like how it's, you just going to embrace it all. In spite of all that, I'm who I am. You know what I'm saying? She was unapologetically herself from the beginning, right? So then she's got a flair for drama, right? So then when she get the Love and Hip Hop shit, she's stealing scenes off that shit. You know, the whole, you got beef with me forever. Like that shit became, they might have used that in the trailer. That shit was a memorable, that's a quotable from Love and Hip Hop. There's a lot of ignorant shit that's said on that show. Right. So for you to cut through to the top of some ignorance, you know what I mean? So then that was that. And she used that for what that was. Okay, got my name popping. I'm going to do some mixtapes. I'm going to put these mixtapes out there. I'm going to be honest with you. I downloaded the first one, maybe listened to it one time. No real expectations. Mm-hmm. I can't really tell you what it was about. I kind of got caught up in the novelty of it. Like, oh, ain't sure you trying everything.
Right.
Right? And then I guess after a while, you know, because she kept going at it, kept putting shit out. That Cardi B, that Bodak Yellow shit came out, and it was a slow one at first.
Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly at what point where I was like, uh-oh, wait a minute. This shit right here is a problem. It was just so fucking catchy. Right. It was simple. It was so catchy. It was just shit that, you know, is a bunch of, again, it's a lot of hook shit to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the thing about Cardi B, if you got to trace it from the beginning, if you trace it from where she got in front of that camera on Instagram, and you got, what, fucking 60 seconds, maybe less way back then, you got to grab people's attention. You got to say something that make people come back and be like, oh, that shit was slick. And then she going fucking Loving Hip Hop, say some more slick shit. Mm-hmm. Do interviews, say some slick shit. Got a song, say some slick shit and respond to what the people been saying. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yo, Cardi, what's going on with your grill? Da 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 da. I bet. Now what y'all gonna hate on? I did. I got a bag. You know what I mean? All of that shit. Like, just, and it's like a fight song.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you see, like, you in the club, you see women, like, they...
Oh, yeah, they dead ass serious.
That,
like,
this shit is like Pastor Troy.
Knuck if you buck.
Right. Right. That shit is a fight song.
You might aggressive. Get,
yes. That's a fight song.
A woman aggressive ass right. song.
You might catch a bad one. Like, you say some dumb shit.
Female 3-6 mafia shit.
You know
shit.
What I mean? Get caught up in a... Shit. But, so, it was just... Kept going. And I think the unbelievable, like, oh shit, is she really about to have a song of the stuff? First it was, is she gonna have a song of the summer? Then that shit kept climbing and climbing. People were like, yo, is Cardi B about to win?
Right.
Wait a minute, is she, we seen her come from, is she about, and then that shit, that energy, people started to, you know, people that were invested, right. There's people that were championing. Hell yeah. And then to your point, the Dominican community, the Latino community, I'm going to do a Spanish version of it so I could represent my people there. And you know what I mean? Kept you involved, you know, the Snapchat and all of that. This is still what I'm doing. Working hard, doing mad shows. I've heard that her show is solid. Mm-hmm. Her, she got a good ass show. So it's not like, you know, mailing it in. She's showing up every time.
Yeah, she was in Orlando with my man Pat Nix last night.
Right.
That shit looked crazy.
Right.
Sunday night, I think it was.
Right.
I was late to the Cardi B party.
Yeah.
I ain't see none of the Instagram shit. I don't think I've watched one full episode of Love and Hip Hop the first ever. You know what I'm saying? I know Stevie and I know the girl who called him Stevie.
Oh, Jocelyn.
Jocelyn.
Who kind of got eclipsed. Go ahead.
I mean, the other chick put out a whole sex tape and still didn't win.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know. I missed the whole shit, but you know what I'm saying? When this particular record came out, and I'm good about kind of calling some new shit, you know what right. I'm saying? I missed it, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's unlike me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I like how he's taking the L, but not giving himself a W. You know, that's unlike me to not be the man.
No, I'm not. Not the man.
Not be aware.
Yeah, not to be aware, because ain't no prize for knowing the shit. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no championship for that shit. But I'm just saying, I usually try to know what's happening.
What made you sleep on it? What it was just?
It just missed my whole, the way she came up was missed my whole paradigm.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have seen it from Love and Hip Hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't expected nobody from Love to Hip Hop right. to come out and have a number one record.
Right. So, especially that never really was a rapper at all.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, it missed me.
Yeah.
But, you know, this song came out, I hear, you know what I'm saying? I just still didn't, you know, I didn't know
right.
what it was going to be because, you know, it was another song.
Right.
But the more you heard it, then over as the summer went on, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Being in these different cities at these different parties,
right.
you start to see it build and you start to see the people, you know what I'm saying, react to the song
right.
in a different way, to the point where by the end of July, you know what I'm saying, some of these parties were more like mixology type parties and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd just be like, nigga, just play Cardi B and this shit started and stop right. fucking playing, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It seemed like some DJs was boycotting the shit, but then the next cat would come on and put that bitch on and then the party wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... But the one thing out of the whole shit, you know what I'm saying? It, you know, sometimes a song will give you one line. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, all the way from back in the day, it might be one line in the song that just make right. you be attracted to the song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This ain't even no real popping line.
Uh-huh.
But when to see how the story played out uh-huh. and for her to be like, you know what I'm saying? Don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, motherfuckers yeah. who was just securing their craft was comfortable.
Right.
Nicki was over there and comfortable. She ain't got to drop no motherfucking records on y'all niggas because she good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's a metaphor for all this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jerry, what's the nigga name that owned the Dallas Cowboys?
Jerry Jones.
That nigga had to take a knee yesterday.
Mm.
Everybody got to make adjustments to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Orange Man in there talking crazy. The storms done tore down whole islands and shit. Puerto Rico is suffering. You can't be comfortable out here, man. You got to be on your P's and Q's, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And from that particular line, man.
Well, you can't be comfortable. You can't think you'll never be uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think with Orange Man, right? He ain't about being uncomfortable. He'll make other people uncomfortable before he's uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? He'll go, mother, like, all of, you know, shout out to Puerto Rico, to all of the people devastated. Like, that shit is fucked up. And that Trump done tweeted about 5-6 times about the NFL, about Steph Curry, because they went on his thin skin ass.
Nah, I mean, that's Trump is a motherfucking distraction on so many levels.
He could be a distraction too, but my man, like, you're the president of the United States. Right? Puerto Rico is part of the... Something is fucked up.
Right.
You talking about Steph Curry not coming to the White House.
And then when he did say something about Puerto Rico, he mentioned...
He went in on him.
Mentioned the fact that, hey, y'all in debt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all gonna be in more debt when we come over there to fix come y'all on, shit. Man. Basically. You know what I'm saying?
But anyway, let's not
even talk
about
it. He probably gonna put his contracts in to help fix the
I'm
shit.
I'm sure. I'm sure that's probably why he... You know, I wouldn't... I think he might have had a golf course or something over there. He might have had some shit. I know. I think he got one in DR. He be having these.
He definitely
little
got one in DR.
Yeah. So he might have. He might have got denied from a realtor over there. Maybe that's why he got a little spite in his blood.
He just some. I don't even want to talk about that motherfucker. But you know what I'm saying? On the don't get comfortable tip, man.
Right.
It ain't no time where you rise up where
it
can't happen to you. So you got to be ready and moving and staying and learning. That's why when I say I didn't know that she was gonna pop, it's not a fact that I think I'm winning because I might know.
Yeah.
It's more of a fact that damn, I need to know what's happening around me so I can understand what's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what's happening now, you're definitely not gonna know what's gonna happen. So for me, that's just a small microcosm of okay. You got to pay more attention sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't discount, you know what I'm saying, where you can't see. So you need to be looking in different corners. You know what I mean? Because if you discount it because she was a stripper on Instagram that was off your radar, you know what I'm saying? By that, I now see the motherfucking standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And now if the standard changed to that, then how you gonna adapt?
Mm.
And that happens in all industries. That happened in my industry. That happens in your industry. You know what I'm saying? It's like people come in and change the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't change with the standard or you can't adapt to the standard, you know what I'm saying? You keep your standard to where it always was, then you might not be able to eat.
Or you just true to yourself, right? Because I don't even know if there is a standard, right? Because that's the thing. Like, there's an assumed standard. And that shit keeps getting blown away every time. When people say, yo, this is what's popping right now. If you trying to sing, for instance, we using rap as the example. If you want to get in rap now, you might need this type of beat. Or you might need to flow like this. You might need to talk about this subject matter. Then a rapper comes out talking about something totally different, totally type of beat, but just true to who they are. And that shit resonates.
Right, but I'm not saying change who you are. I'm just saying the awareness of what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like if you can't dismiss some shit just cause you are who you are. And you're like, oh, that's all that other shit is some bullshit. You
right.
know what I'm saying? That's how I'm saying. I'm not saying this fact is you have to change and be Cardi B and you have to become a stripper. Cause you know what I'm saying? That's not even
I see what you're saying.
It's you had to understand where shit is coming from. Like say if you out there trying to get a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a rapper, you have your own way of doing shit, and you want to get a deal, and you go into these labels who are signing Cardi B's and 21 Savages and shit, and that's not your style, and you're just totally unaware of that shit, and you just go in and bump your head of why they not fucking with me, why they not giving my deal. And it's not necessarily the style that motherfucking that you had to worry about. It's the way of how they doing business and why they doing business that you had to be aware of. And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to change yourself, but you had to be aware of how and why people do business the way they do it.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Now I hear what you're saying. You know.
So, yeah, you can't just stay comfortable in that's how they spending money. You know what I mean? Just say with video, right? For a long time, you know what I'm saying, I would get money one way. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go into this, the fashion space is wide open. You know what I'm saying? You go in, you're shooting shit, doing all the fly fashion shit. And then that's when video and content wasn't really on everybody's radar. Then once it hits the radar, now all the big agencies that have all of the big models and all the big photographers, now they bringing their own fucking video motherfuckers to go to these shoots with these high-end models and shit. And I could keep bumping my head, but you had to understand that that's happening. I don't have to change what I'm doing, but I had to understand that you can't run the same lane the same way no more. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. All right. I'll tell you another cool thing about the Cardi B thing is, it just opens the conversation about women rappers. Because at the same time that Cardi B just went number one in the country, Rhapsody just dropped the album. And that shit is dope. Oh, Rhapsody is a rapper that signed to Ninth Wonder. She was on the Kendrick album. She was on the Complexion record. Mm-hmm. She been around for a minute. She could spit. You know what I mean? She got a little lisp. Kind of on some G-rap shit. She put out an album. And that shit is fire. That shit is a good ass album.
I
haven't
heard. I seen it pop up today, actually.
Yeah, no, that shit is popping.
I've seen people talking about it, but I've seen it like pop up on my title.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one, but at the same time, like we talk about women MCs, right? We were just talking. You were talking about the you go on social media, they got the for the dick challenge and for the pussy challenge.
that is hilarious.
And when you see these particular challenges,
who is the beat from?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Somebody said Rail, but I haven't found the original. I haven't gotten to the source of that shit.
I didn't even think about who the beat was at first until I saw a tweet that was like, people asking who the beat is, they too young. So I'm thinking, so is this some old school OG shit? But I never heard that beat before. I can't recognize it.
Right.
But explain it to the people, what's going on.
Well, I might have been late to the motherfucker. I ain't see the shit till Erykah Badu did the shit.
Right.
And it was, you know what I'm saying, for the dick challenge, for the pussy challenge. And Basically, the challenge is make a rap that why the shit you would do for the dick or for the pussy, you know what I'm saying? And it sometimes is ironic or in irony, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, you know, I saw the one with Erykah Badu and Michael Blackson.
Right.
Which I was like, yo, this is crazy. So. Yeah. So you know, when I saw the hashtag, I realized it was a challenge.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And these challenges, you know, that's a viral institution. Like once you got challenge associated with your shit, it's over. So, you know, I don't know I couldn't find where the shit started, and I couldn't find who to be. I saw somebody say something about somebody named Rail, but I couldn't really. I ain't really get my investigation on. But you know what I'm saying? It's just interesting. It's like such an interesting dynamic because the challenges. They not just like, you know, like what was the shit with the ice bucket shit?
The ALS?
The ALS challenge, right? You know, that was pretty simple, straightforward.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But since then, the challenges have taken on a whole another life.
Right.
And it's a very particular type of humor that goes along with these challenges.
Right.
Because not only that you do it, is you got to add your own.
You got to take it to the next level.
You got to take it to the next level. You had to put your spin. You know what I'm saying? You had to say, like you said, the slickest shit or the funniest shit to it. Man, I've been the internet, man. It's burping some more.
A lot of lyrical thirst trapping.
Yeah, and a lot of these motherfuckers rapping better than some of these rappers.
Well, that's my thing. That's what I'm saying. So, like, when these challenges come out, because before that, a while ago, they had the So Gone challenge where a bunch of people was rapping over the old Monica So Gone record.
Right.
And when these challenges come out, I guess back to your point about a lot of women on social media running it. All of these black women that rap pop up that you'll never see no other time.
Right.
Kill the challenge and then kind of go back into obscurity. Right. You know what I mean? Like, no.
That violin girl who did the Mask Off challenge, she looked like she took off.
Oh, did she? I don't even know who that is.
I don't know her name, but I see her. She be on all kind of shit doing shit.
But you'll see these people pop up, kill the shit for the challenge. And then you'll see them again. You're like, yo. She was dope. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen a few people especially for these last couple, that got bars. You know? But then, you don't hear nothing else from them.
No doubt. How cool is Erykah Badu, though?
She stayed on on point.
She be on message all the time. She even know what's happening.
And she kick shit off.
And to my point, she don't change. Mm-mm. She don't change who she is.
That's my point. She's who she is.
She adapt to what's happening.
Right.
But she don't change who she is.
Right.
She put her humor, her style, her flow in the shit that make the shit even more funny. When she said, motherfucking fourth baby daddy for the dick.
Or get Ebola.
Man, Michael Blackson. Michael Blackson get Ebola for the dick.
That shit was funny. I saw somebody say, vote Donald Trump for the pussy. You know what I mean? Like, it's wild shit, dude. Oh, man.
And while that shit is funny, and while that shit sounds crazy, you know exactly the context and the texture of what that means. That's not saying that they support Trump in no kind
of
way.
It's just
it's saying it's so obvious that we don't fuck with that motherfucker. Yeah. And I'm gonna throw him in this motherfucking verse for the irony.
Yeah, for a fact.
And that shit is beautiful humor, man. I love that kind of culture.
Well, see, this is the beauty of the whole shit. This is the the benefit, I don't say, not the benefit, but this is the silver lining to fucking struggle. When shit is fucked up, this is when some of the art gets the best. This is where people, because you gotta kind of get a respite. You know what I mean? You can't be angry all day. You can't be mad all day. You can't fucking march all day. You gotta tune out or you gotta do something to make you feel good. And then, you know, you gotta get creative. And a lot of creativity come about when shit is fucked up. You know, so keep it coming. Because shit is fucked up right now. Shit's so fucked up. I got a friend of mine. He's from England. And he was, I was talking to him today. He was like, I said, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm kind of down. You know, this fucking country's got me down. You know,
he's in England or he's in America?
You know, he's in America. He's like, this country's got me down. He said, I hate to say it, this country's got me down. He said, you know, this ain't the same America was 6 months ago, right? And this was the interesting part. And I felt him on everything, but till this part, this was the illest shit. I said, you get buyer's remorse. He was like, you know, my family, you know, I got people that, you know, that are from here and all of that, but that don't mean we gotta stay. And I was like, oh, shit. I never think about that. I never, because I'm from here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't have that point of reference to where I could compare it to my other land.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or always, like, I've never even though you could fathom the idea of leaving America. I'm sure people have said that. There was people who have said, oh, Trump, when I'm leaving America. But, you know, that's some shit to say.
Right.
But to get your mind around leaving America, or particularly me, I can't see myself doing it. I can't even, I mean, I'm going down with the ship if we go down, and I feel so, like, I'm not letting nobody run me up out of this, bitch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I done built into so much America propaganda, for better or worse, that I still feel like we the motherfuckers.
We are.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting, but to even consider an exit plan.
But see, you know what I'm saying? That's the one thing that, you know, that transatlantic slave business took from you.
The business? You know what I'm
saying? It took that point of reference.
Right.
Of having somewhere else to be.
You don't even know where you're from. You know
what I'm saying? I was in another country,
mm-hmm.
and I was at a dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting across from this lady. And it was, you know what I'm saying? It was one of them upness type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting across from this lady,
mm-hmm.
and we talking regular talking shit.
Right.
Like, hey, how you doing? Where you from? You know what I'm saying? I'm from fucking Miami. Mm-hmm. I live in New York. I'm from Miami.
She said, but where you from?
Yeah, you know how they hit you with that, because they hear your name, they think mm-hmm. you got to say something exotic or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, from Miami. Mama from Georgia.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? My daddy from Cleveland.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yeah, I'm from Miami, you know what I'm saying? I was like, where you from? She was like, I'm from Rome. You know, I've been, you know, my family's been in Rome for 700 years. Mm. Like, the fuck? 700 motherfucking years? You know what I'm saying? I can't go back 70 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As far as the people I motherfucking know. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have that reference or, you know, someplace to run. Even like people that's from the Caribbean that live here, they could always reference their homeland, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, where they were dropped off. But You know what I'm saying? If you regular black American from the plantation, you ain't got that reference. You know what I'm saying? You only got the references that you make. Right. Or that your family has made, or, you know what I'm saying, some people in your family has made, you know? And that's one of the key things that they take away from you, but then they have that whole advantage of you not knowing. So, hey, go back to Africa and shit. You know what I'm saying? Knowing you can't go back to no motherfucking Africa. You know what I'm saying? It's throwing you for a loop. But fuck them. If you don't give them the power, they can't have it over you.
Yeah. There you go. How about that? Nah, I'm with you. Let's see what you're saying.
Is you with me?
I'm with you, man. He was like, fuck him.
All right, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
No, I hear
back
what you
to
said.
You, Jack.
I hear what you're saying. You know, it's fucked up.
Is it fucked
well,
up?
Well, it's not even. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. We ain't got no homeland. That's the fucked up part of
it. That whole shit was fucked up. Yes, it was. But, you know, we had. We've
made this the home.
Yeah, 300 years. We gotta figure this shit out.
Look. It's fucked up. We persevering. That's the thing about it all, is we're going to be resilient. And we're going, even if it's fucked up, we're going to figure out some type of hashtag challenge and keep moving. You know what I mean? We doing the hashtag living in this.
Ain't nobody going to beat no
country ass challenge.
You might not give us no homeland, but you ain't going to beat us in no motherfucking
culture.
Slick talk culture, dancing, singing, sports.
Yeah.
Any of that shit that we had to just use our intuition and intellect.
Right.
You can't beat us, man. And the more we know, the more that grows. You know what I'm saying? The more we get into different things, you know what I'm saying? The more we feel comfortable doing them. And the more we feel comfortable doing them, the more we rise up. And that's all we got to keep doing. You gotta keep rising. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Take what we do on the internet, like how, you know what I'm saying, how the Twitters and all that, it has transcended just Twitter. You know what I'm saying? It moves into us moving into TV and creating programs and being able to do bigger and wider things. You know what I'm saying? It puts us at the Emmys. It gives Issa Rae a space. It gives Shonda Rhimes a space. You know what I'm saying?
Makes the footprint bigger.
Yeah, it makes the footprint bigger. It's the same shit with what happened with hip-hop.
Right.
The more we grow into shit, you know what I'm saying, the more we create other people that's like that. Like Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Jay-Z wasn't, like he said, he wasn't thinking about all the shit he was thinking about. You know what I'm saying? Who would have thought Hov would sell clothing?
Mm-hmm.
Not in his lifetime. Wasn't in his right mind. But he saw Russell Simmons do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That shit became possible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Dame Dash wanted to start a liquor. Shit. He did it. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers followed suit.
You see Dame Dash is selling his his plaque for Reasonable Doubt?
Nah, he's selling it. Why?
Yeah. I don't know why. I guess get some paper. Or guess he's just like, fuck it. I don't want it.
I think he's just doing it for the talk.
He could be doing it. We talking about it. But, I mean, it's still got to be just more than just the talk. Unless he going to buy it back himself.
He
don't need
the money.
It ain't about that. Who knows what it is? But right. All I'm saying is,
I guess it ain't no value to him just a plaque now. You know what I'm saying? He don't own rights to the motherfucking bastards and shit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? Out hustled him on that.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we in the, was this the speculation report we in right now?
Obviously, because I don't even know this. What's happening?
I'm trying to find it for you. But he was, I don't know if it was particularly him for example. I mean, I'm not sure if it's even him. I just know that the plaque that he got.
His plaque is on eBay.
His plaque is on eBay. Let me look at it right now. It was on a couple days ago. It was at $50,000 4 days ago. Let me look online right now and see what's popping. Yeah, he out here selling that shit. Speaking of nostalgia hitting the streets, Ralph Lauren jumped into his...
Ralph Lipschitz.
Jumped into his Michael Jordan bag and got his retro game up. And he released the 1992 Stadium Collection, and he got the motherfucking streets in a fervor. This shit is crazy. For the low life, so the low heads, cats that fuck with Polo.
The motherfuckers who really got Polo on the map, man.
They are going crazy, because it was interesting how they did it, too. They did like a limited drop, very sneaker, did a limited drop, few places, Jimmy Jazz, I thought that was dope. Bodega in Boston, Fred Siegel in LA, maybe one more place. Drop, I think it's like their little like capsules, maybe 12 items. 9 of them are like for real retros of down to how it was over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or 25 years ago, and then there's like another 2 or a couple, 3 or whatever that are like, you know, reimagined. And they were doing the limited sneaker look where you get yourself a wristband, and you sit out on that street and you wait, and you get like 1 or 2 pieces, and those people that did it went and got it. That shit, obviously. The hype was real. Shit was gone. Immediately it was on eBay for thousands of dollars. Fucking nostalgia ain't cheap, I tell you that, man. Hold on. Sells. You could talk to me while I'm doing this good.
I mean, I don't know shit about this shit.
No, just in general. Were you into polo? Is that?
I wasn't like a low head like that. No, yeah, you have polo pieces, but
right.
It wasn't down to the New York science, you know what right. I'm saying? Because a lot of that shit was jackets and all that. No, yeah. It was too hot for all that shit.
I guess so. That's true.
Miami polos, you had had the color, you know what I'm saying? You get the yellows and the pinks and the oranges, right. You know what I mean? You just fucking with the colors more so than all that heavy outerwear and jackets and bubbles and right. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't all about all that.
So Dame Dash is selling his sneaker collection and some plaques on eBay. I didn't even know he's selling a sneaker collection. Damn, this shit is bananas. 550 pairs they showing this shit. I'm trying to get to the eBay listening.
Maybe he's purging.
He could be. I mean, you know, shit. Is it anything wrong with that?
Wrong with what?
Selling some memorabilia.
Nah, ain't nothing wrong with it. He fucking worked for it. It's his shit.
Right.
Your plaque ain't shit but a fucking thing to hang on the wall.
Yeah,
he probably got more than one of them bitches anyway.
Oh, he said he's not the one that's selling it, supposedly. Oh. But let me try to find the real eBay shit. I guess we'll do me a favor. See if you can find Dame Dash Reasonable Doubt plaque on eBay. Go to eBay. Put a Damon Dash Reasonable Doubt plaque.
But, yeah, I mean, if it ain't him, it ain't him. But
I just want to see how much it's at now because this shit was $50,000 4 days ago.
At the end of the day, the shit, you know, he did the shit in real life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He had the real experience. He got the real credit. You know what I'm saying? The plaque ain't shit, but the shit that's on the wall with the fake shit, it ain't real platinum in that motherfucker.
Real platinum, but it's a nice little
spray
piece.
Painted ass vinyl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's definitely a nice piece. I'm sure he got here another piece at the crib. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Jay-Z won the Masters and all that shit where it really count.
I guess. I mean, I guess we really count money wise, but you know.
Well, really, I mean, ownership of the
ownership,
music
yeah.
that they built together,
right?
You know what I'm saying Jay-Z got,
yeah, because he's the artist.
And
no.
Well, that ain't how it work. That ain't usually how it work. Is you know,
the label gets he bought his publisher back.
Well, they gave it to him back when he agreed to be the president.
Yeah.
After 10 years, he got the Masters back.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Well. You know, it was really slick.
He paid a little bit for it too. I think that was part of it. He paid some for it.
I don't know if he paid, but it was really slick that way they did it. Because right. if that was the case, I'm sure Dame then would have paid too.
Well, it's a couple people that's been doing that now. Because I've heard Nori say he got the Masters back from the War Report.
Right, but see, you know, this was the deal. Like they all had the label together.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? I'm sure like Big and Dame's put up money. And Jay put up money to make that record. That's really when you own the Masters, you pay for the shit,
right.
your shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, after, you know, they fell out, per se, Def Jam offered them the president position, and they bought Rockefeller out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess $30 million, $10 million a piece. Everybody go their own way. But then Jay accepts the job as president. In mm-hmm. that deal, they give him back the Masters
mm-hmm.
to the old Rockefeller shit.
Mm, to that album, to that one album.
You know what I'm saying? But so that's, you know what I'm saying? You know, if I'm speculating and I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm thinking too hard and shit, it looks to me as if, like, you know what? This is what we going to do. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? You get rid of your partners. We pay everybody out and then we fucking get you the Masters back. Da-da, bada-bing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, if you're Dame, you know what I'm saying? You like, okay, if that's how it's going to go, all right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You did it, you done it, and it's done. You know what I mean? Now you go on and do other shit. James got a lot of shit he's trying to do.
And that could be that too, because he's got something going on. Like he's got some new innovations in like diabetes. Like he's it's like you got a lot of stuff that he's trying to do with that. He's doing something with marijuana. You know, he's Dame is always out there hustling. Right. And it may be, I don't know if he has any idea who's selling this shit, but it definitely put a light on him to say, yo, that's cool, but this is also what I'm doing. Right. You know, which he's never not been savvy.
He's never not been.
You know.
And he stay on some shit, and you know what I'm saying? He gone. And even when they were saying he was broke, he's far from the layman's definition of broke.
But it also shows you also just like how much that particular album and that particular movement means to hip-hop. The fact that that fucking plaque, to your point, it's just a promo tool and it's not real gold or it was a gold plaque. It's not real gold to spray painted or vinyl or whatever. You know, it's made by a marketing company. But the perceived value is ridiculous. That shit is past $50,000.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so man. It make you wonder, like, so how much, remember we had this whole, we had this idea a long time ago, like if Mitchell and Ness started doing a bunch of throwback fucking hip-hop shit, throwback promo tees with the Mitchell and Ness tag, all types of shit. Certain shit, because nostalgia means something. Nostalgia make people feel like, oh, they're young again. I'm curious what a Nas plaque, a Illmatic plaque, that shit'll go for about $100,000. You know, some type
more,
of...
More than a reasonable doubt?
It could go. I mean, yeah. It. I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance. The only thing about that, I think reasonable doubt. Jay's always been about money from the door, right? People that fuck with Rockefeller. Jay inspired a lot of people to go get money. Nas is a great lyricist, one of the best MCs, a true artist. But he ain't about getting money. Yes, he been getting money, but not from the door.
He started talking about money.
I'm out for presidents to represent me. We get it from the beginning. Somewhere. But he wasn't like where Jay was like, I'm a boss. I got, you know what I mean? His whole shit was, this is our own thing, blah, blah, blah. We getting, you know, all of that shit. I'm spending money from 88. His platform was very money-oriented, very mogul-oriented. You know, Nas was a poet. Nas would talk about the money. Nas would talk about everything. He was the guy that would talk about it all. Jay shit was kind of laser-focused. I'm hustling you niggas. It's a shame I could rap. I was a hell of a hustler, right? So a lot of the people that he might have inspired might have made a whole lot of money. Whereas a lot of people that Nas might have inspired, they might just be, you know, they might be working in the school, helping out people. You know what I'm saying?
Nas inspired a lot of the Shea Butters.
Exactly. Nonprofit, like just martyrs who ain't gonna spend no more than $500.
Damn.
Who knows? You a Nas fan, you spend $100,000 on a plaque, let me know.
You gotta prove me wrong. You gotta have $100,000 disposable to spend.
Right.
The motherfucker who's spending that ain't fucking, you know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of person, man.
What kind of person you think it is?
I don't know. It's like the motherfucking Martin Scorsese motherfucker who bought the Wu-Tang
Scarelli
shit. Who the fuck ever his name is, man.
Yeah.
Don't even matter. But, you know what I'm saying? Pay $1 million for the one Wu-Tang album and shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He won, you know what I mean? He ain't of the culture and shit. He don't give a fuck.
He just had the money.
He got the money.
However, that don't mean to people of the culture that shit ain't worth $1 million. Because the thing is, if a motherfucker had that money that was up, that was really in, like an enthusiast, you never know. There might be a black Martin Scorsese, not Martin Scorsese, but a black motherfucker that got some money, or somebody of the culture that got some money that's like, you know what? Somebody on this bitch bidding $50,000 for this.
And I'm sure they are, man. There definitely may be, and it definitely will have value. But it's motherfuckers. See, when you're talking about the economy of hip-hop and shit, you know what I'm saying? When an artist fucking fee becomes $100,000, there's a lot of motherfuckers that stop being able to afford that artist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers can't see you at your show no more because your ticket price too high. You know what I'm saying? So it's various stages to this shit, and it's various levels of participation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the $100,000 for your plaque, you know what I'm saying? It could be somebody who listened to that shit their whole life. And they was inspired to get money from that shit, and now they got it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And now they gonna spend it on that's my shit
right
there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's people that spend $100,000 on a watch.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
But you could get that $100,000 back on a watch.
You probably get that $100,000. You probably get that $100,000 back on that plaque if you flip it, right?
Maybe.
Maybe not. Who knows? So a perceived value.
No doubt. Yeah. Just like that polo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's about the hustle.
What you call it? What you say? Nostalgia what?
Nostalgia ain't cheap. It's expensive. No
doubt. And, you know, so you got to get in where you fit in with this shit, man.
Well, there it go, man. Well, man. Did you find it? See where it's going? It's headed or they took it down?
As far as I can tell, it's not there anymore.
Matt, okay. You got to be about that action.
I was trying. even the articles about it don't have any info on what happened to it.
Okay, no doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, man.
So this is a speculation, D.
Nah, it might have sold. I'm curious to see what that shit sold for. Let me see. Anyway, what's up with you, man? What else is going on? I know, what was yesterday? What was yesterday? They said National Pancake Day. Did that come about? Oh, you want to talk about that? Said it was terrible, but it's all right. It's all right, and it's on the list. Come back away from the pancake talk now.
Well, God damn.
You don't want to talk about pancakes, man?
I mean, after all this, you know, pancakes seem motherfucking trivial.
Man, all of that shit. Everything.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfucking, it's just pancake, man. Oh. I don't want to talk about that no more.
All right.
What's going on with you?
Man, I'm out here chilling, man. We try not to get a cold with this weird ass weather. And we're in the writer's room for season 3 of Comedy Knockout.
Where?
You know? Yeah.
How's it feel, man? What's the difference between season 1 and season 3?
Shit, there's a bunch of different differences. We've been doing it for a while, so we getting more of it. We know the game's getting a rhythm. We building, you know, we tweaking things and we, you know, we're pushing things, you know. People are a little bit more familiar with the show now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
you are a little bit more familiar with the show.
I'm familiar with the show. Yeah, I've been hosting it for, shit, 58 episodes. I don't know, but a good amount of episodes.
What you going to change this year, this season?
I don't know. I'm in the middle of it still. We're just going to be more, just stay in it. Just be more engaged. Go all out. Have fun.
How your shoe gang going to be?
We working on that now. About to have a meeting with the plug, you know?
Okay.
You know, I like a good shoe gang.
No doubt. You know what I'm just saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, the people out there probably want to know how that works. You know?
I'm going to keep them posted as things get closer. Hey, pay attention to this episode. I'm going to have this shit on. But just keep paying attention. Matter of fact, you know, and identify yourselves. If you watch the show, hit me up. Say, I'm watching Comedy Knockout.
With the shit that you wear, is it shit that you know what I'm saying? You'd be like, do you get a stylist like the type of shit you like? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or they just try to size you up?
Well, we did that over the years, over the seasons. Initially, they wanted like a, you know, a smart look where it's like host. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like it was a lot of ad exec.
A lot of ad exec, junior pastor, a lot of blazers and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, blazers. Like when I came to the show, you had like a little, you know, like a little jacket, like not a blazer.
Yeah, but they would have blazers. There was one time I think I might have had a full suit on, and I wasn't really trying to be suited. Because the thing about a lot of comedians.
Like
a
little Jimmy Fallon ass nigga?
Not even a Jimmy Fallon. Just really suity suit. You know what I'm saying? It didn't really call for. It's not a suit situation.
Right.
Shit that we doing here, it's not really, you know, so, and I'm not a suit every day kind of cat. I'll do a suit at a wedding, I'll do a suit at a funeral, suit, you know.
Do a suit at the red carpet,
you know.
Premiere.
Right. But if I'm kicking it, the suit is not the first choice. So then we started getting further, like, you know, more and more in tune with this and, you know, shout out to the people that was working there. You know, we say, hey, listen, I like this type of stuff. And then go out, source shit, and, you know, make it happen.
So you guys are at a happy medium right now?
Yeah. We doing good, man. We doing good. You know.
So you said that first season was smart. What would you call this season?
I will not even get. I haven't done the fitting yet. I haven't done the fitting.
What you thinking?
Damian Lemon, that's what we called it. Smart Damian Lemon. Elevated is what they say.
Up.
Elevated.
Elevated.
Yeah.
Okay, you got the upness look.
Yeah, I guess so.
Word.
Yeah. So
don't be shy.
I didn't have the chance to really think about it to that degree, to really distill it. How would you say your season's going to be as far as what you doing style-wise?
I'm about to bring the wizard back. You know what I'm saying? It's about to be wizard weather. You know what I'm saying? The wizard had to retire for the summer.
When the wizard goes away for the summer, who's the summer wizard? What do you call the summer wizard?
This summer, who was I? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I was the crisp white shirt. You know what I'm saying? Bucket hat. You know, I got my standard bucket hat. I've been rocking the same bucket for about 3 summers.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I haven't found a bucket that fit the way the one. This one, actually, I got it on today. I haven't found a bucket that sit the right way.
Even them same people, they didn't make another one?
Not with the same patterns. They had, you know what I'm saying, some more tropical looking shit. But now I ain't really want to go for tropical.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? This shit right here look like, you know what I'm saying, urban fucking gorilla warfare or some shit. You know what I mean?
That's where you at.
That's where I was. That's my headspace. Okay. So, you know, I rock with that. In the fall, in the wizard weather, you know what I'm saying, I usually go with a little skull cap, you know what I'm saying, knitted, fitted hat, you know what I mean? Probably try a couple of different colors this season. Usually stay with the black or the navy.
What you gonna do? Shoe game. You gonna do anything new?
Shoe game, man. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard for me to really focus on the shoe game because I got a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old who got to get their shoe game together. So it's kind of hard to really stunt on my shoe games because I got a heavy shoe budget in the house already. Right. You know
if you had no no ceilings to your shoe game, as Blue Ivy would say, what shoe would you go out there and get?
Man, I haven't really focused on that, man. Again, so even if I had no ceiling, I haven't even put no thought into it. So I'm still in my standard uniform. You know what I'm saying? Enough. I got a couple of statement pieces. Got a couple of, you know what I'm saying? Got my common projects that I, you know what I'm saying, throw in for the effect. I got a couple of, you know what I'm saying? I got my ID ones, that side of design, you know what I'm saying? The Black Powers, you know what I'm saying? My everyday work shoe, you know what I mean? And my Vans, you know what I'm saying? I would really like a really comfortable pair of, I got a woven Chukka Nike with the first edition of the Lunar Soul, woven Chukka, that I love that fucking shoe.
You probably get it on the Bay.
Yeah, I tried, but they don't never have my size. And then when they did have the week that they did have my size, I ain't really had that shit in the budget. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'll find it, but it's now getting older. You know what I'm saying? But I love that particular style of shoe. It's real soft, it's real comfortable and shit. So I'm looking for a smart work shoe. That's what I'm looking for. Cause you know, I spend most of my days working.
How long do you throw out your old sneakers?
Ooh. Nah, man, I got a closet full of all that shit.
I was about to ask you, are you a hoarder?
Yeah, in some respects.
Do you see yourself as a collector or a hoarder?
No, I'm not, definitely not a collector.
Okay.
I like to keep my motherfucking shoes and I like to wear them as I please. You know what I'm saying?
What would it take for you to throw them shits out though? Do they have to be torn down or if like.
The sole had to be fucked up.
But what about. Cause this is where I come. Like, what about if you got a pair of shoes in your closet that you copped? They really, you know, you thought they was. They look cool in the store. They might look cool online. You put them on your feet. It's like, they ain't really. Or you've worn them a couple times. Like, you know, this ain't even my style no more. It's nothing really wrong with them.
I'll throw them out.
You will get rid of them.
I put them on the curb for the Goodwill type shit.
So nothing, everything in there is in rotation.
No, it's not that they're in rotation, but the potential to be in rotation is always there, so I don't throw them out. Like my Wallabies. You know what I'm saying? I got Wallabies from motherfucking 12, 13 years
ago. Are they crisp or are they...
They
got some patina.
They definitely got a little patina, but they wearable and they definitely, I would wear them. They not fucked up. They not leaning.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I could go get them clean, but why? You know what I'm saying?
And why do you keep them?
Because I know at one day I'm going to want to wear my fucking Wallabies. And I do every now and again. Now, I ain't going to wear them all the time, but I would hate, I have thrown my Wallabies out at one point. And
it's a Wallaby story.
Hell yeah. Like growing up, nigga, I was a fucking Bally's and Clark's and Jordan kid. You know what I'm saying? That was me. Right. Bally's,
right?
Clark's, Jordan's.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, Bally's, you know what I'm saying? They never came back with that original style that they had back then. So, you know. They fell by the wayside on that tip. But Clarks, they still got the same styles. The same fucking Clarks from fucking 88.
Clark Wallabies.
Wallabies, you know what I'm saying? Wallabies in the desert shoe. Same shit from 80-something to now. Probably before then.
Right.
So, you know, At one point in the early aughts, you know what I'm saying, 2001, 2002, 2003, rocking Wallabies and, you know what I'm saying, shit, every day.
Right.
Then, you know, it went away. You know what I'm saying? Then it was like, all right, I ain't going to rock them. Then it was 2006 to 2007. Right. Then in 2008, you know what I'm saying? I realized, damn, I threw out my fucking Wallaby. I wish I had this certain Wallaby that I had. Shout out to Tasha Turner because she had the plug.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At the Clarks. See what I'm saying? So I wish I hadn't gave them away because it had so many of them that, you know what I'm saying? It was like, damn. Then I gave them all away. And then I wish I had them. Then I went and bought some. Mm-hmm. And I wore them, you know what I'm saying, a couple years, and now they back in the closet. They not in rotation, but them shit's going to always swing back around, and I know it. Mm, now, you can put them on.
Keep them tucked.
Yeah, you keep them tucked, you know what I'm saying? Keep them tucked.
Yeah.
So.
I just be feeling like I create that story for a lot of the shit that I got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm going to need this shit. There's so much shit in my closet that I've never worn before, but I won't discount, I won't dismiss it, because you never know. But you fucking know. Right. It's been 5 years this shit been sitting in your closet. Shit is, but I should keep it because da-da-da-da-da. I have to start throwing shit out. I got to really just start throwing shit out because, or... The other thing is, I'll keep some shit because it remind me of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had some Air Force Ones. I hosted this shit for Nike long time ago. It was an amazing moment because I was fucked up on rent, and Nike cut me a check that got me back out of arrears.
That was a good night, though.
Oh, it was an amazing situation.
That was a good night. I rode on the train with your homeboy.
Right,
after that.
Right. Yeah. On many levels, it was a good night. So I kept the shoes for dumb long, but I never really wear these particular shoes, but they was my Apollo shoes. It was like the first time I've ever been on the Apollo. Like, it's like if a nigga had, you ready to die. It's like, you got your own museum. You got to keep your
Apollo shoes.
Do you really, though?
Yeah, Apollo. You can throw all the other shits out. You keep your Apollo shoes.
But you ain't going to wear them shits again. And I ain't got no, it's not like I got space
What are they?
There's some Air Force Ones, but they're like a foamposite material Air Force One.
Okay.
They were cool. They were cool in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I did. I did. I gave them away. These is about these shits was years ago.
Yeah, I don't have another pair. I don't have no shoes that I don't wear that I never worn one or that I worn just one time. All my shoes, pretty much, I live in my shits. You know what I'm saying? If I don't live in them, then I don't like them. Then they really gone.
Yeah, get rid of it. So you get rid of
shit. Yeah, I get rid of the shits I don't like.
Matt, are you a hoarder?
Certainly not with shoes.
What are you hoarding?
I mean, I just make a mess and then eventually throw things out. Nothing. I'm not a hoarder, really.
So are you good? You throw shit out. You don't have a whole lot of anything in your house that you don't need.
I'm a slob and things end up in a pile, and then I eventually, when I'm trying to procrastinate on something, I just clean out my apartment and throw out everything I can.
That's what's up. That's good. That's good. Yeah, I get that. Like, I need to throw all this shit out. I put it in a pile, and then I start sorting through the pile, and I have a story for every item in the pile. Like, well, I can't throw this shit out yet, because, I might wear this. You know what I'm saying? I was looking, it's like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Wardrobe-wise, I throw shit out. You know what I'm saying? Because shit you wore there definitely don't always work for now.
Yeah, that's true.
And I ain't gonna never bank on, the old baggy style coming back. I'm gonna keep these old fat farm jeans and shit.
Shit, but that's a motherfucker right now that threw out some 1992 Stadium Polo. It is sick! Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, I feel like it's time to fly up out of here, man.
Well, might not fly. Maybe yeah. Not.
Tell the people where you gonna be, man.
Well, I'm going to be celebrating my birthday.
Oh, shit.
Tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
In Atlanta.
But tomorrow ain't your birthday. Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow will be my birthday.
Oh, right. You're right.
What is he going to tell me when my birthday is?
You're right. True it did.
Tomorrow is my birthday.
All right, true it did.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be in the A.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the A, hashtag that Bombay Artisan Series and come holler at your boy. You know what I'm saying? I accept gifts.
Oh, shit.
And drinks and whatever.
Oh, you going to be in the A celebrating your birthday?
I'm going to be in the A.
That's a good look.
ATL, shawty.
With gin on deck.
with Jen, I mean, they gonna have Jen on deck. I don't really fuck with that Jen too much, boy. I might be fighting. Yeah. Man, I don't want to fight at this particular juncture in my life.
Nah, don't do that.
Jen, boy, have you angry. Have me angry. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'll be in the A on Thursday at the Bombay Artisan Series, you know what I'm saying, getting in there. Mm-hmm. And then, shit, we'll be back in New York shooting some Hennessy shit the next day.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
That's what's popping out here.
Shit, I'll be in Chicago October 7th through the 9th at Zany's. Get your tickets now. We're going to have a good ass time out there. And shit, beyond that, I'm just going to be around here. I'll be in the city a little bit, popping up here and there. But until then, you can catch me next Wednesday right here in the conversation. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.